ocean. Anything to shake this, but I'm in. My tank's got me drinking.
Back for another episode of Shades of Blue. This is Thad Bell from the Kansas City Soccer Journal. With me, I have Mike Kuhn from the Kansas City Soccer Journal. What a surprise. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good, Thad. How are you?
All right. Everybody else was busy tonight. I don't know if they thought that we were going to actually win last night, but they all had plans. So what did you think about the game last night, Mike? What was your impressions?
My first impression for the 90 minutes of the game itself was a perfect example of why there shouldn't be 9 playoff teams, basically. It was a very bad game. It was not a good game of soccer last night to watch for the entire game. I mean, at halftime, I think the expected goals were combined was like 0.13, and that was all Sporting. San Jose had a 0.00 expected goal in the first half, and it didn't get much better in the second. I think Russell's free kick that hit the post may have been the highest expected goal chance of the game, maybe. It just was not an advertisement for having 8 or 9 playoff teams last night.
Well, I get that. In the final XG, according to MLS, was 0.7 for Sporting and 0.4 for San Jose. How much of that is that Sporting maybe wasn't as sharp as they should have been, and San Jose playing super defensive and cynical, because that's pretty much any Lucci coach team does?
I think that had plenty to do with it. I mean, I think both teams coming in off short rest had plenty to do with it. I think the way San Jose played had plenty to do with it. I think Sporting just the way Sporting played had the worrisome part is it looked like the offense from February to April out there for the game last night. It was not. The offense did not seem to be clicking at all last night.
I know I was going to steal that tweet in case we had other people on the pod. I was going to give you credit for it, though.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. Since we've been shut out twice since June, we've been shut out 3 times since we finally got our first win, basically. The 4-0 loss in St. Louis, the 1-0 loss at home to Chicago, and the 3-0 loss at home to Nashville. So, I mean, we've been scoring. So the way the offense looked last night, it just wasn't clicking like it has been for most of the last 24 games, basically.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like Pulido's been a little bit out of form. I know he's supposedly carrying an injury also, so hopefully that's not going to keep him too down for too long, but I just feel like he was not as sharp as he was.
I'm thinking the injury is a bigger part than him or Vermes will let on. He's, and I mean, I know we joke about, oh, he's scored 1 goal since he signed the extension and he finally got paid and stuff, but at the same time he just doesn't look fully fit at the moment. He looks like he's carrying a knock.
Yeah, and we joke about that, about, you know, the contract thing, but it is a joke. I don't think there's any way Pulido's just like sandbagging it because he got paid. And the 1 goal he did score was actually off the penalty kick that got stopped that he then put in, right? So
yep.
And then he speaking of penalty kicks, you want to just jump to that real quick?
Oh, his penalty kick was one of the worst. I mean, I know what he's trying to do there. We've seen him do it before. We saw him, I think, if I remember right, he did it in the MLS's back tournament, in the shootout against Vancouver there, where he gets the goalie to go the wrong way and he just rolls it into the opposite corner.
Yeah.
And last night, he just didn't get it enough into the corner because he had Daniel going the wrong way. Daniel wasn't getting back over to that if he gets it more into the corner, but Pulido didn't get it enough into the corner and it made him look it's like Chicharito last year when he tried to do a panica on Pulskamp. If you pull it off, great. You look kind of cool doing it. If you fail, you look like a chump.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Chicharito definitely looked like a chump, and Polito did not look good. And just that trailing leg got it too, man. It wasn't even like a real effort there. It was just there. So,
So no, I mean, yeah, it's the penalty kicks as a whole outside of Polito's, Sporting's were fantastic.
Yep.
All the other four penalty kicks were fantastic, and then you have the best PK stopper in MLS. In MLS history, only has to make one save, and then on top of that, he makes players overthink it, which is what Jackson Yule did on his. I think he was trying to make sure, okay, I got to beat him, especially because Espinoza and Yule both missed the last time these two teams met in the playoffs in the COVID year. So yeah. they both in their head, they got to think, okay, he stopped me last time. I got to make sure I do better this time, especially after Espinoza missed. Yule's like, okay, I got to make this one. And he just put too much power on it and skied it, basically. So, I mean, when you have a goalkeeper that's that good on penalty kicks like Melia is, you're going to make players overthink it.
Yeah, no doubt. I saw somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, but saying basically Tim just guessed the right direction. You know, when I rewatched that, Tim was already a step in that direction. He knew exactly where he was going to go. So,
oh yeah,
it wasn't even a doubt, man. It was just...
I hate the term guess for goalkeepers on penalty kicks.
Yeah,
because especially at the professional level,
Tim Melia level.
Yes, especially at the Tim Melia level, but the professional level in general, the players at this level do so much more work with regards to where players are going, with regards to what their tendencies are. I'm sure Melia and Polskamp and McIntosh, the whole goalkeeper core, looks at these videos when it's a knockout tournament. I'm sure part of their training is, hey, we're going to sit and look at some of San Jose's penalty kicks. And I'm sure their videographers put together packages of the penalty kicks. So, I mean, I hate the term guess because there's enough footage now of a bunch of players taking penalty kicks that you have a good grasp of where players are going. Now, if you get to the 5, 6, 7, 8 shooters that probably don't take a lot of penalty kicks, then yeah, you're probably guessing. You're looking at tendencies. You're looking at their foot. You're trying to read anything off their body language that'll tell you which way to go. And if you don't see any of that, you do maybe guess. But for the most part, the pros, they don't guess. And I hate the use of that term by broadcasters, by pundits, by anybody, because it's not true at this level.
Yeah. And that's exactly why I brought it up, because it annoys me, especially in the case of Tim Melia, and especially in a case of a penalty stop like that one, because he was very clearly already going that way before the ball was even shot. So, I mean, it was very clear.
I mean, it's the same as I'll go back to the San Jose. The last time we beat him in the shootout in the playoffs, he was going the right. He knew which way most of the guys were going and went that way, and was going that way before they even before they even struck the ball. I mean, if you're going to put your head down in those situations and just strike it, if he reads it, he's going to go that way before you even look up at the shot, basically.
And one of the ones that they did make, he went the right way. It just got a little bit under him. So
yeah, no, he does a fantastic job of reading the kicker and figuring out what way he's going to go.
I'm also really happy that Shalloway got the final one. Good for confidence.
He's had a rough history of penalty kicks for Sporting. I think he's taken like 6 now, and I think he's maybe back at 500 basically for making them, because he's missed a number over the years.
I'm pretty sure he said that that he's missed basically everyone in a league game, and then made everyone in a shootout or something like that.
That sort of sounds right. I'd have to stall and pull up my stat keeping on that
it's okay, man. It's
to
okay.
Confirm. But I mean, I know he missed in the MLS's back shootout against Vancouver. I know he missed a league one against LAFC in this season that he'd rather forget, where he scored only on the very last day of the season. So he's not had a good history,
yeah,
in shootouts and in PKs in general. I mean, yeah, okay. So he did miss in league play. He got Brad Stuver for Austin. He stopped. He made it in the Open Cup semifinal last year against Sacramento. He made it in the 2017 U.S. Open Cup shootout against San Jose. And then he was saved by Hassall in the MLS's back shootout. And then he missed against LAFC and he scored. So he's 0-2 in league play. He's 3-4 in shootouts.
Not bad in the shootouts.
No.
Another interesting stat that I had heard was Tim Ilya's. I've heard this is the problem. I've heard three different numbers: 5-0, 6-0, and 7-0 in shootouts.
The stat, I believe he's 7-0 now, is if I remember correctly. But that isn't just with Sporting. That right. is that includes Charleston when he was with the Battery and hit the 3-0 shutout he did in the Open Cup there. And I'm not sure where else, but I mean, you got 2015 U.S. Open Cup, 2017 in the semifinal against San Jose, MLS's back tournament against Vancouver, the shootout last night, the shootout against San Jose in the playoffs. And am I forgetting one? Vancouver, San Jose, Philadelphia in 2015. San Jose.
Yeah, I don't.
San Jose again.
You can
San Jose
check.
San Jose three times. Vancouver and Philadelphia are the ones he's done in Kansas City.
Man, San Jose's got to really hate him.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, think about it this way. Before whoever made their first penalty kick last night, the last penalty, they'd been 0 for their last six. Because they missed their last one in the 2017 shootout. They missed all three in the 2020 shootout, and then they missed their first two of so they were 0 for their last six over a 6-year period in shootouts against Melia. So I don't think he's going to be on their Christmas card list.
Maybe he should be, and he would be more favorable to him. No. I talked to Tim a little bit last night, just, you know, had to, right? He's not going to give away any secrets or anything. And he, of course, gave tons of credit to his back line. The defense has actually played pretty good the last couple games. Only gave up the one goal in the last two matches. And overall, they've looked really good. Rosero and Fontas has both made a lot of stops and blocks and interceptions. Davis and Dembe have looked good. Tim says, like, oh, you need to go talk to the defense, man. Go talk to them. And there's already a lot of people around Jake, so I went over and talked to Fonte for a little bit. And Fontas was like, you know, he was very happy and all that stuff, but he was telling me that he was very worried about the shootout. And he goes, but Tim walked by and said something along the lines of, let's have fun. And he goes, I wasn't worried after that.
Yeah. I would never be worried with when you're heading into a shootout with Tim Mealy in goal. I think
that just reiterated the confidence, though.
Yes, yes.
I then did go back and ask Fonte a little bit later, like, where he would have been at in the shooting order. And he said, dead last. I said, okay, you know, kind of laughed. Then I walked away, and I thought about it again, and I walked back over. I said, when you say dead last, you mean 10th or 11th? He goes, no, Tim would shoot before me.
To be did I believe Fontas took a penalty kick already this year though.
He was in the
Cincinnati shootout and missed one, if
yeah,
I remember
he,
right.
And he said it was Leagues Cup. He goes, I'm never doing that again. He goes, I missed in Leagues Cup. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Although to be fair, Rosero strikes me as the Colin type who would always miss in practice, yeah. Basically. So I don't know, but I do know that our center backs would not be high on my list to have take a penalty kick.
Well, and that was as they were going through to come up last night. I'm sitting there going, okay, who's next? Okay, who's next? I'm thinking like, okay, is it going to be Daniel? Because I know he's not really good at penalties. Then he comes walking up and he nails it. But then I was while he was walking up, I'm like, okay, who would go after him? And
yeah, you know, I mean, I had the first five were locked in my mind. The five that took it last night, yeah, were absolutely my first five. There was no doubt about that. Now, six is where you certainly would start to run into some questions about who would take the next one. I'd almost have leaned towards Davis, because yeah, I mean he would take a lot of set pieces for SKC too when he was with them. Yep. So he would be the next one that I'd probably feel the most confident about, because it's Davis, Fontas, Rosero, Ndembe, Espinoza, and Melia are the, yep, other six. So Davis, in my mind, I would have had Davis sixth.
I'm not going to argue that, man. He's the epitome of young and confident. So
yeah, young, confident, and in very good form, even if, yep, it's not goal scoring form.
Yeah, he would have no fear in that regard. And I watched him doing penalty practice the day before the game, and everybody was actually looking pretty good, to be honest. But yeah, Jake was planting them in there the couple times I saw him take them, and I'm not going to reveal where he shot, so don't anybody need to worry about that. I was kind of joking, because last year when the Current were going to the playoffs, the Current coach didn't want me to even mention that they practiced penalties. And I'm like, every team practiced penalties before a playoff game, coach.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, but I just don't want you to mention it.
Sure.
Yeah, that was it. All right. Not a perfect game, not the most entertaining high scoring game, not a Red Bull thumping of Charlotte type of level of thing, or.
It was perfect game. No, but defensively it was solid.
Yeah.
Davis owned Hoppy until he went off the field. Honestly, I wasn't even worried about San Jose's offense basically until Cal came on. He's the one that really started to give me some worries in the second half. But I mean, other than that, I wasn't worried. It was just a question of whether if the defense stood up and didn't make a silly mistake, Kansas City was either going to win it in regulation or on penalty kicks, in my mind.
Yeah. Now, after this game, though, we have obviously a slightly tougher opponent for Sporting Kansas City coming up, St. Louis Square Cuts, and game on Sunday, 9 p.m., 9:20, whatever, something like that, start time.
Thanks, Fox Sports.
Yeah, ridiculously late for a Midwest game on a Sunday night. Like, it's incredibly stupid, but there'll be a large crowd there. There'll be a fairly good amount of people traveling, I'm sure, from Sporting. Are you going, Mike?
I had wanted to, and then I woke up this morning after an 8:30 start, and I'm like, I don't want to do a 9:20 start time and then take a whole day off the next day. I'm just exhausted today. So I thought about it. It's really hard, and it's not for me this time. I have too much else going on that I can't do a 9 p.m. start on a weeknight. I'm old, and I know I'm not that old.
Yeah, you're not the oldest one on this podcast, man. I know I typically, if I go over for that kind of game, I usually try to drive back that night. I might take a nap in Columbia at a hotel parking lot, not actually in the hotel, but a hotel parking lot, and then run across a Quick Trip and get lots of caffeine and then make it the rest of the way back. But I don't know, man. This one I might have to stay over there.
Yeah, I mean, I hate it because I would love to go because I mean this rivalry between Kansas City and St. Louis is it's already there between the fans. And I mean, it's shown it's translated to at least players and coaches saying the right things to not be bulletin board material, but build the rivalry off the field as well between the teams themselves. So the right things are being done to build the rivalry, and a playoff matchup is something that certainly help. I mean, you don't have Salt Lake and Kansas City at the same. You don't have Salt Lake fans wearing FUKC shirts without MLS Cup 2013. You don't have Houston and Kansas City rivalry without 2011, 2012, 2013 playoff runs. Playoffs are what cement rivalries for teams. And having a Kansas City St. Louis playoff matchup is just going to help elevate that rivalry to another level, basically.
It will, and either however it ends up, either team will have ill will towards the other one for knocking them out of the playoffs. And we are officially in the playoffs now because I know some people contested whether a wild card game was playoffs. It was freaking postseason play, so it counts as playoffs to me. But it's official. It's against a real team, against a good team. Question is they're not in as good a form as they were earlier in the season. But they've still thumped Sporting in both trips over there. Can Sporting go over there and steal a win? Because it has to be a win. It can't be a draw.
No. Depends on what your definition of a win is in a draw. Officially, it can be a draw. Officially.
Okay. I know we're semantics. Yes, you're correct. But in the terms of the playoffs, it can't be a draw. There will be a winner
Yes,
because it
they
will
will
go
have to
to
win
shootout
on penalty.
after.
They will have to win on penalty kicks. Yes. I'm just being, as you said, semantics on this.
You're
I
being Mike,
desperate
and I understand that.
I desperately want a team to go 1-0-2 in this stupid three-game playoffs to just point to the stupidity of it that a team wins one game, draws two in the 90 minutes, and still goes out. Hell, I'd like to see it where the team that go loses the game and then wins the two penalty kicks doesn't even score a goal.
I
They
lost Seattle.
lose like 1-0 in one game, 2-0-0 draws. They win both the penalty kicks and they go through without even scoring a goal because that's how much I hate this stupid three-game format.
Have the one loss be like 6-0. So I mean it would even be like
That, yeah.
dramatically
Yes.
aggregate
Yeah.
situation, but
There we go. Let's go with that then. Yeah, let's go with a 6-0 thumping and then 2-0-0 draws that are won on penalty kicks because that would be just the stupidest way to do this stupid format.
I know it's stupid in so many ways. I think I've gotten to a point where they've changed their way of doing it so many times, and maybe I've mellowed with age, man. But I don't have as much, anger, irritant about it as a lot of people do. I get why they're doing it. They want every team that made the top eight to have a home playoff game.
Then do home and home. Do home and home. And if you want to give the home team an extra incentive, do what Liga MX does and make the lower seeded team have to win on aggregate. If it's tied on aggregate, ties go to the tier seed. So if it's a 0-0, 1-1 draws, guess who goes on? The home team, the higher seed goes on.
And then, but they also want more games on Apple, which is paying big
Then
money.
don't, then why are the semi conference semifinals and
I know,
finals
I
one
know,
game?
I know. I'm
Yeah,
just saying
no.
there's all these
I know.
reasons for it.
Yes, but the reasons don't back up when the next round it goes to one game.
I get it. I'm not, I just don't have as much anger about it, man.
My anger is as much with the stupid three-game format as it is with the fact they keep changing the format.
I get it.
Pick a format and stick with it. I'd prefer it's not the three-game format, but if you're going to stick do it, stick with the stupid thing more than a season.
So again, I have issues with it because in the past when they've had like the home and home, it becomes who hosts first, who wants, you know, is it a real advantage to be the hosting the second game if the first game was, you know, a win for the other team? They can come in and just, it goes back and forth, man. There's like arguments for every which way possible doing it. I'd actually rather just have single game elimination, but I also like more soccer. So I don't have a, personally, I can't find a way to me that is perfect solution. Because we've had those where we have home and home, and just because the way the schedule ended up, it feels like Sporting would end up with the Wednesday game. The other team would have the home game on a Saturday night, and Sporting would have it on a Wednesday night where it was a little tougher to get a full crowd, and it just wouldn't be an advantage.
Well, but then, I mean, again, going to this format, then look at Sporting St. Louis. Look at their series. It's three straight weekends.
I know, that surprised me. That's actually
it's
very surprising.
Three straight weekends. It's this coming Sunday. It's a Sunday after, and then it's a Saturday if game three is necessary. You could fit the two game series on weekends in there.
I know.
And then
there will be an international break.
Yes, and then there'll be an international break. So, I mean, I don't know what you do. I mean, other than I don't know what you do with this format because, yeah, you'll have the three games, you'll have the international break. If you cut it up differently to where it's two games, then you either don't do a weekend or you have a game, international break, have the other game, or you just because let's be honest, FIFA's going to add more international windows before they get rid of any. So, I mean, it's dumb. The format's dumb. The making it work so that it's not dumb would cause problems elsewhere. So I don't know how you do it.
Right. There's not perfect answer.
No, there's not going to be a good perfect answer, but I'd rather, if you want to give every team a home game, make it home and home, make it simple. Put away goals or not, I don't care. But if, like I said, if you want to give the team with home a bigger advantage, adopt Liga MX's higher seed goes through on a tie. It's right there.
Okay. I'm just not as mad about it as other people. I don't necessarily think it's the smartest way, but I don't know what it is. But I got to change it back to the original question. Can Sporting go in there and steal a win, a overtime shootout win, if nothing else, in this first game? Especially in this first game, because that's going to be the difficult one, because there are three games in a week-ish.
Can they? Possibly, but I think it would involve Vermes actually changing the style of the team a little bit. I think the way Sporting plays right into the way St. Louis likes to play.
Yep.
And we've seen, and what we've seen over the last years, and this is, I know is a, I'm not trying to make this into a fire Vermes conversation because we don't have time for that, but Vermes has become very, very rigid with the way he plays, with the way his team plays. They play his style. They know they're going to play their style. And the problem is their style plays right into the counter press of St. Louis.
It does.
It plays right into it. So if Sporting wants to get a result out of the road on this, they're going to need to adjust dynamics a little bit. They cannot go in and play the way they normally do.
They need to play
at least for the full 90 minutes. Yeah. They need to pack the box. I'm not saying start Voltaire, Redoya, and Gutierrez in the midfield, but I'm not saying not do that and just kill the game. But they need to do something to adjust their style. I'm not saying completely, but instead of 90 minutes of it, shrink that down and adjust your tactics a little bit to play to the state of the game a little bit, play to the state of the series a little bit. It just, you're not the way St. Louis plays, you're going to struggle to do your style of play for a full 90 minutes, especially on the road.
So start with a 4-5-1 and just pack the midfield with the most defensive midfielders you have. Have the one up there be Willie Agata or Kyrie Shelton. And just go for that until about the 80th minute and make subs. Is that what?
I mean, I wouldn't be totally against not necessarily that specifically, but I wouldn't be against adjusting the tactics that you play to fit the opponent.
A little bit more than sometimes
Yeah,
happens.
a little bit more than what we normally see out of Hermes, yes.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't disagree, and I would I think I would actually go for like 4-5-1, maybe something like that. I'd have to like think of who exactly I would put in there, but that's a good conversation for next week when we have when we haven't done that.
Yes.
All right. So,
but no, I think Sporting can get the result. I think it'll be a lot tougher if they're playing the way they play every other game for 90 minutes.
Yeah, and there has been times when Peters went into on the road and played a very defensive game, but it's usually because they didn't have the players to begin with because they were too injured.
Yes, yeah. He adjusts tactics when he has to, when he's forced to due to other absences, basically.
And it might be with several people on the questionable list and having, I mean, there was times I didn't know if Johnny was going to get up after getting hammered a couple times last night. And knowing Polito's not at 100%, I just wouldn't be, I would love to actually see him do it.
I would too. It would show growth to me in terms of how Vermes has learned through this season if he would actually adjust his tactics and adjust the way the team plays to try to grind out a result on the road. Grind out a result, get to penalty kicks, and basically force Berkey to show up in the penalty kick shootout and prove he should be MLS goalkeeper of the year, which I think he probably should be.
Yeah, but he should be.
Make him prove it in the shootout. Get to the shootout, make him go head to head with Melia and prove it. And then because in the shootout, as I said last night, with it's normally a 50-50 with Tim Melia, you make it at least 60-40 in your favor. See if Berkey can tilt the scales back their way, basically. But grind out, Sporting's going to have to grind out a result here. And I don't see them being able to do that playing their style for 90 minutes. They're going to have to make some adjustments, in my opinion.
Especially being the third game in a
week-ish,
however many days it was. And with the injuries, it's going to be hard.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Any last words? Actually, I'm going to go back to something I was looking at on FootMob earlier. They had the man of the match being Daniel, the San Jose keeper. And I'm like, he made a few saves. I don't know that he was actually challenged as that much.
I don't think, I mean, you read off Sporting's expected goals for for the game. It wasn't exactly high. He made three saves. I mean, I guess because nobody else really impressed. Like nobody. I mean, if Davis had been able to shut down Cal the way he shut down Hoppy, sure, I would have said Davis. But based off the 90 minutes, there, I guess because nobody else really stood out.
A game is not 90 minutes. The game is the whole game.
No. But does FootMob look at the shootout as part of the game, or does it just look at the 90 minutes? I'm going to guess it looks at the 90 minutes.
I'm guessing so also, but if I'm going to be outraged, I'm going to be more outraged about that than I am the playoff schedule at this point.
Yeah, see, I don't care about the ratings on FootMob. It's whatever. It's like when I give used to give player of the matches. It's like I just do it off my eye test. So
I know, and that's as fair as anything to me because you're watching it as a observer and seeing the overall picture, not just stats. Because a player could be one of the best players on the field and not have the best stats.
Yeah,
a defensive midfielder, for example, could make three interceptions and just shade the play always to the right people, and they could be the best player on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have a goal scorer score two goals, but essentially lead to three other ones for the other team. And, you know, it has to be more than stats, but that's the way the applications are set up. So I understand that. All right, man. Any last comments before we just have about a minute left?
Go Sporting.
And safe travels to everybody. And also, go make sure you buy your tickets for the playoff game here, because I know a lot of people across the state are already doing so. We are out.
Yeah.